Haskell. Preston, Melbourne, Australia. September 18, 1892. Elder Haskell. Pacific Press, Oakland, California. Dear brother, how full and complete is the promise, "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne." Revelation 3, verse 21. In all our afflictions, Jesus was afflicted. The captain of our salvation was made perfect through suffering. In this life we shall be proved whether we bear the test of God. When Satan's temptations come, we shall have a trial. Shall we be overcome by the bewitching power of Satan? Or shall we overcome Satan's temptations as Christ overcame them? Shall we have the mind stored with the heavenly treasures of truth, that we may be enabled to meet the adversary of souls with, "It is written, as did Christ"? Matthew 4, verse 4, 7, 10. And not with any of our impetuous speeches. Satan understands more of what is written than many a professed Christian, for he is a diligent student of the Scriptures, and his work is to pervert the truth of God, to lead men to disobedience, and to neglect the searching of God's Word. Satan, who became an apostate in heaven and drew a large share of the angels with him, knows that the Scriptures testify that his works are evil. If he can succeed in drawing away the mind from the words of God, if he can weaken and confuse memory, that men shall forget and not live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, Satan has gained his point. The words of the enemy will be taken as the words of God. Evil angels will confederate with evil men who do not love God, nor love to think of him, because their works are displeasing to God. To be alive unto God is to have the life hid with Christ in God. Such will have an experimental knowledge of the blessings the Lord bestows upon those who believe and are obedient. Every soul will have his disappointments, trials, bereavements, sufferings through sickness or sorrows of heart, because of his frailties and mistakes, or through sympathy for friends. Whatever may be the weight, large or small, have we become restless, impatient, and spoken unwisely? It is a great mistake to dictate to God. Elijah knew not what he said when he told God that he had enough of life and asked to die. 1 Kings 19, verse 4. The Lord did not take him at his word, for he had a work to do before he would be exalted and translated to heaven. Have we forgotten that Jesus, the majesty of heaven, suffered being tempted? Jesus did not allow the enemy to pull him into the mire of unbelief or crowd him into the mire of despondency and despair. But many poor souls are feeble in moral power because they do not do the words of Christ. God hates sin. Satan's work is to allure to works of evil. How adroitly Satan has worked with his bewitching power to fascinate the mind to choose sin rather than righteousness. The influence of man on men had become dangerous because of Satan's leading and controlling the mind and pressing this influence man has over man in his own service. But the Lord Jesus, by the agency of his Holy Spirit, changes the order of things and takes the sins and guilt of man upon himself, and draws man to himself, and sanctifies and employs the human agent as his instrumentality to engage his powers to do an entirely opposite work than Satan advised. He would enlist man in his service to expel from the earth sin and evil. Thus the powers of men would become, through grace, that which God designed in the beginning they should be, an agent of numberless blessings to every man, and man indeed become his brother's keeper, and thus the world be restored to God to make the chain of mutual dependence through faith in Jesus Christ fast to his throne. The highest power in the universe should be embodied in humanity and elevate humanity through their faith in Jesus Christ, an influence emanating from God, concentrating all the influences of the world for the recovery of man.
Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. James 4, verse 7, 8. How precious to the tempted soul is this positive promise. Now, if the one in trouble and temptation keeps his eye fixed on Jesus and draws nigh to God, talking of his goodness and mercy, Jesus draws nigh to him, and his annoyances that he thought almost unbearable vanish. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Ephesians 2, verse 19 to 22. This is vital energy for the church. This love for Christ must be revived. It has grown cold. Believers may not only pray for union with Christ and with one another, but have it. Troublous times are before us, but this is not to worry us. To be worried is to be unbelieving. But Christ invites you, saying, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Matthew 11, verse 28. The apostle who leaned on the bosom of Christ tells us, "We have known and believed the love that God hath to us." If we can individually say this, we are indeed rich in faith. Many of us, amid our imperfections, discouragements, afflictions, and bereavements, have this important lesson to learn. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. 1 John 4, verse 16, 17. We have reason to ever thank God that he knows all the storms, trials, and disappointments of his people. He follows them with tender, pitying love and expresses his tender helpfulness to heal and restore. One thing we must present and urge upon the people with pen and voice. In all your afflictions, in all your troubles, go not to the God of Ekron to obtain relief, but to Jesus. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." John 8, verse 12. This is but one channel, and it is always accessible to man, and through it, rich beams of light and forgiveness and love will pour down that will cleanse the darkest sin and forgive the greatest criminal. The Jews saw in the sacrificial offerings the symbol of Christ whose blood was shed for the salvation of the world. All these offerings were to typify Christ and to rivet the great truth in their hearts that the blood of Jesus Christ alone cleanseth from all sin, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Some wonder why God desired so many sacrifices and appointed the offering of so many bleeding victims in the Jewish economy. Every dying victim was a type of Christ, which lesson was impressed on mind and heart in the most solemn, sacred ceremony, and explained definitely by the priests. Sacrifices were explicitly planned by God himself to teach this great and momentous truth, that through the blood of Christ alone there is forgiveness of sins. This grand and saving truth is oft repeated in the hearing of believers and unbelievers, and yet it is with amazement that angels behold the indifference of men to whom these truths mean so much. How little is evidenced that the Church feels the force of the wonderful plan of redemption. How few make this truth that only through faith in the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ there is forgiveness of the sins that cling to human beings like the foul leprosy, a living reality. What depths of thought should this awaken in every mind? He needed no suffering to atone for himself. His was a depth of suffering proportionate to the dignity of his person and his sinless, exalted character. Angels are amazed that men regard so lightly and indifferently the vital truths which mean so much to the sinner, and continue willing subjects under the captivity of Satan and sin, when so much has been endured in the divine person of the Son of God. Oh, that we may cultivate habits of contemplation of the self-denial and self-sacrifice of the life of Christ, until we shall have a deep sense of the aggravating character of sin and hate it as the vile thing it is. Let the mind awaken to gratitude that through Christ Jesus, the Father is faithful to fulfill the promise to forgive all sin. His mercy and his love are forever an assurance as we look upon Christ uplifted upon the cross of Calvary. Will we individually rise to the appreciation as far as we have capacity to comprehend the truth? That God Jehovah loves and forgives us if we believe in and love Jesus.
Oh, what a glorious truth! God is waiting to forgive all who come unto him with repentance. Preach it. Lift up Jesus high, that the people may behold him. Let the salvation of the souls of men, women, and children be the great aim and purpose of our labor. Say to the youth, if you have not given your heart to Jesus, make him the offering ere the year 1892 shall close. What has Jesus done for you? He has given his precious life for you. If God had not loved you, he would have retained Jesus in heaven. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3, verse 16. Do not allow the enemy to crowd this out of your mind. It is the most important theme for your meditation. What have I done to show that I appreciate this great love? What have I given to Jesus? The gift that will be a precious and fragrant offering to him will be yourself. You that have not made your decision to be sons and daughters of God, I beg of you to do this without any delay. Place your will on the side of God's will. He delights in mercy. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. Micah 7, verse 18. Have you decided to become a part of the heritage of the Lord? Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. Come to Jesus just as you are, weak and sinful, ignorant and unworthy, and he will receive you. He says, a new heart will I give you. Ezekiel 36, verse 26. Among the Jews was a remembrance made of sins every year, and they felt that sin needed a fresh sacrifice. Sins forgiven in Christ are remembered no more. Saith God, I will remember their sins no more. Jeremiah 31, verse 34. The Lord accepts the sinner that comes to him in contrition, repenting of his sins, and treats him just as if he were innocent. Again, he says, our sins are covered. Will the youth think seriously and begin to inquire, what shall I do to be saved? Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. John 1, verse 29. The more your mind is educated and trained to think of Jesus, to talk of Jesus, the less power will Satan have over your mind.
He cannot bear to belong in the company of those who will meditate upon the love of God and Jesus Christ. To dwell upon the beauty, goodness, mercy, and love of Jesus is strengthening to the mental and moral powers. And while the mind is kept trained to do the works of Christ, to be obedient children, you will habitually inquire, "Is this the way of the Lord? Will Jesus be pleased to have me do this? Will this course be to please myself or to please Jesus?" Then will every soul remember the words of the Lord, "Thou hast my secret sins in the light of thy countenance." Psalm 90, verse 8. Many need to make a decided change in the tenor of their thoughts and actions if they would please Jesus. We can seldom see our sins in the grievous light that God can. Many have habituated themselves to pursue a course of sin, and their hearts harden under the influence of the power of Satan. And their thoughts are brought into captivity to his evil influences. But when in the strength and grace of God they place their minds against the temptations of Satan, their minds are made clear, their hearts and consciences, by being influenced by the Spirit of God, are made sensitive, and then sin appears as it is, exceedingly sinful. Then is the time when the secret sins are set in the light of their countenance. They confess their sins to God and repent of them and become ashamed of sin. We ask God to forgive us our sins, and then we must believe He does forgive them because He has promised that He would. He casts them from the light of His countenance behind His back, and He removes them from us, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Psalm 103, verse 12.